Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hey, the CDC has just issued its Halloween guidelines.
Oh, nice.
Avoid
fun
door-to-door trick-or-treating, trunk or treats, crowded indoor costume parties, indoor haunted houses, crowded hayrides, and rural fall festivals. Your alternatives, you can have decorating your home, virtual costume contests, movie night with family members only, and a pumpkin carving and decorating with members of your household.
The dumbest thing I've ever heard. Just cancel it.
I'd say just stick with your avoids. Don't give me the alternatives. Like, okay, well, no trick-or-treating, kids, but we're having a virtual costume contest with Grandma and Grandpa. I understand it. It's real and it's legitimate, and I get all the issues and concerns we have. Just say, like, hey, look, for a year, no trick-or-treating. Make your parents buy you a bunch of peanut butter cups. Call it good.
How about you just make everybody dress like Spider-Man so everybody's wearing a mask? Make all of Halloween, everyone is Spider-Man. And everybody's got an entire face mask on. That way you can go to any house and any haunted alley and anywhere you want because you got a mask on. Just put
on
the Spider-Man mask.
Wearing a neck gaiter, and they say those are actually worse.
And we're good to go.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. Go Batman.
Be a bank robber from the old Wild West.
Darth Vader.
You could do Darth Vader. He's got a full face mask.
Yeah.
If everybody dressed with a mask, can't we just mask save us, right? So let's mask up with all kinds of outfits and go have a heyday.
Man, I'm going to miss stealing my kids' candy this year.
Oh, you'll still send them out. Just put them in a mask.
Put them in a bubble.
Like everybody be
like
the boy
Jake
in the
Gyllenhaal.
Bubble.
Just good.
We're gonna mask up and we're gonna get through some of these corn mazes this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but we're gonna mask up.
Are you a corn maze guy?
Yeah, I like to corn maze it up a little bit. I like to take the.
I just get frustrated and I'm like, okay, it's over there, and I just cut through everything.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like to go in there. Well, we go late at night.
Oh, you want to get lost with Mama in a corn maze, don't you?
Yeah, I like to make out in a corn maze. I like to embarrass the kids a little bit. I'm not afraid of that.
Oh, I think they're – I don't even think they're embarrassed by it anymore, are they?
Probably not.
It's what they call Tuesday.
But we will do face mask makeouts.
Wait a minute, what?
Well, we're not removing the mask. We want to stay safe. So we'll be in the corn maze with our masks on.
Now, that would be embarrassing. All right, Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Joining us now on the T-Mobile special guest line, it is the man himself. As we continue to talk NBA playoffs, Kurt Heelan joins us from CBS Sports and Pro Basketball Talk, or NBC Sports and ProBasketballTalk.com. Kurt, how you doing?
Hey, Kurt.
I'm doing pretty good. How you doing, gentlemen?
We're doing well. So I want you to answer the question, does Denver have life, or is this just, a proverbial game three win that in a series that will usually last about five games?
I've got a feeling they have life because, they could easily be up 2-1 right now. But beyond that, the Lakers are showing to be – LeBron's not playing great in the second half of games. He's looking a little bit tired. Their half-court offense – nobody's been able to keep them in it. If you can take away some of the transition points, you can slow them. They have not been a great half-court offense all season. They don't have great shooting. Denver's not a great defensive team. They're not great in transition, but they've been focused enough. Except for you could see it in the last game, right? It's three quarters of doing it well. They go into one slump where they start turning the ball over, missing some shots, not getting back, and suddenly it's a game again. If they can avoid those kind of runs, they're okay, but we'll see. I like the Lakers in this because I think their defense can force more of those moments, but I think it's going to be a series. I think it's going to go six.
When you watched last night, Kurt, how much of the Lakers' struggle on the perimeter had to do with their own struggles? How much of it had to do with Denver really executing and getting out and contesting?
I think it's a little more the former than the latter. I just don't think they're a great – they're not a great shooting team. And then they're – and with that, remember, they don't have Avery Bradley, which would certainly help both defensively on Jamal Murray. And, I mean, this is the – there are certain matchups where he was always going to be missed, and Denver was one of them because he can shoot the three and space the floor consistently, but he's also a really good defender on the perimeter, and they could use both of those things right now. But mostly, I just don't think they're very – but their half-court offense is a lot of LeBron James and Anthony Davis, and that's going to work most nights, you know, especially, you know, as you go through the course of an NBA season where teams can't prep, and that's just enough to get you wins virtually every night. But you get down to the very elite teams of the NBA, and they can stall that a little bit. The Lakers have got to find a way to get stops and get some easy buckets in transition, or they're not going to be able to score enough.
Yeah. Kurt Helan right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Jamal Murray continues to impress, and he had the craziest stat line in game two where the Nuggets are plus 16 when he's on the court. He played 44 minutes, and they lost by two.
Yeah.
You just don't see that number, and it just shows you how important he is to the team. Now, last game, they were even when he was off the court in those 4 minutes, and that's probably why they won the game.
That's part of it. The first time he came out, they Lakers went on a quick, like, I want to say 7-0 run or something. It was kind of stunning again, but they settled that down. You wouldn't think, I mean, with the depth they have, you wouldn't, I mean, nothing against Murray, but I wouldn't think they would be that bad. I mean, they've got Morris and they've got Harris and they've got competent guard, but now, and now, you know, Michael Porter Jr. is kind of finding his own way. They're like competent guard play behind them, but nope, not really. They seem to just come apart, and he's really. And I think I said this to you guys last week. I came into the playoffs thinking, I don't know. I don't think he's a number two. I don't think, you know, they've got Jokic, and I'm not sure they've got a number two in the playoff level. And I was wrong. That guy, he's a full-on number two. And I think I think these playoffs have really boosted his not only his standing, but, like, it's just his confidence. He is playing with an aggression that we haven't seen from him consistently.
Kurt, I know you get a feel for kind of the general interaction that you get with the NBA fan base when you're on Twitter, or, you know, when you're posting and doing what you do. How has the interaction been with the fan base? Are they involved? Are they engaged? Are they staying involved and engaged?
You mean in general with this playoffs? I think so, but I think it's a little less intense than previous years in some ways. And I think that part of that is just, despite the good, you know, exciting games and the, you know, Anthony Davis threes at the end, and even last night was pretty exciting, it's just lacking something now without fans there. And at first, I think the novelty of, oh, this is kind of cool, they're pulling this off without fans, and it's a good look with the, you know, whatever you think of the virtual fans and stuff, but like the NBA put on a good virtual show, and now it does feel a little hollow. And I think that rings through. The ratings have still been pretty good. But I think that this is where some of the buzz is off. And also, look, some of the stars are – LeBron's left, but none of these other teams carry – well, like maybe Jimmy Butler, maybe, you know, Jason Tatum's evolving into a star. Jokic and Murray are evolving into stars. But they don't – you know, there's not Steph Curry in the finals and Kevin Durant. And, you know, those even Giannis Antetokounmpo's not there. It's just – I think the lack of star power is hurting them a little bit now. And going up against the NFL probably not helping. Mm.
Kurt Helan joining us, NBC Sports and ProBasketballTalk.com here on the Zone Sports Network. You shift to the East. There was, you know, a little bit of a turmoil in the locker room after game number two. Celtics come out, they win game three. How do you project the rest of the series?
Tonight's really going to be telling. Again, I don't think Boston can go down 3-1 and come back against Miami. Miami's a little too resilient for that. So I think Boston kind of has.
Oh, looks like we lost Kurt.
I wasn't sure if we lost us or if we
lost
Kurt.
Yeah, that's yours. Is that us or is that Kurt? We'll try to get Kurt Helan back on the line here real quick.
Yeah, because I wanted to hear what he was talking about right there. You know, Scotty, you think about the NBA and the bubble as a whole right now. Do you feel like it's keeping the interest?
I think the NFL has had some issues in terms of cutting into cutting into it a little bit. I just think that it just doesn't feel right. It's October, you know, it's almost October, and unless you're a Laker, a Nugget, or a Celtic, or a Heat fan, I think nationally, I think once we get to the NBA Finals, it'll be a little bit different. But I do think that there's a certain level of like, okay, my team's out, and let's talk football.
You know, they're actually...
Kurt Helin joins us once again. Kurt, sorry we lost you when you were breaking down the Eastern Conference Finals.
Now, by the way, I caught a little of what you said. I will tell you this, just as somebody, and it's not just us, by the way. This happens in football. This happens in everything. There's way more interest and way more traffic in free agency and coaching rumors, like Billy Donovan and Bulls coaching stuff yesterday, than there necessarily is in games. The Lakers are kind of an exception to that rule because of the size of their fan base. But in general, I think you're right, man. There's 30 teams that care about the draft. There's, you know, 30 teams that fan bases care about free agency, and there's, you know, four teams left. So basketball fans and sports fans care, but they're not as passionate about, like, for us, and I don't think the ratings are good, but I think for us and a lot of people, like, it just doesn't get the same follow. So it's kind of interesting.
That's really interesting.
That said, the East is, like I said, I just think Boston has to win tonight. I think they've got getting Gordon Hayward back is just huge. It lets them play their best lineup. It lets them play a little bit smaller. You know, he wasn't 31 minutes, 6 points. It wasn't fantastic, but he, like, putting up massive stats, and he clearly was slowed a little bit, but he lets them play their best lineups, and they just look like a much better team with him out there. He's solid defensively. He can just – we'll see. I think Boston's got to win this. They can't go down 3-1 to Miami. Jimmy Butler and Miami are too good to get that far down, because Miami's still going to win a game because Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson just went off and hit everything, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Kurt, as a guy that does a sports show, I should probably know the answer to this, but I guess I haven't really thought of it until now. What's with the delay in the East? How come they got extra time?
Only because the West was behind. The West had gone seven games, and they've been short in the East. So they've been pushing to try to get things going quickly, and suddenly they realized that heading into the finals, they could have been they'd set this up, but Miami could have finished – if Miami had won this thing, and still, if they win this thing in like five, they could have finished way, like, days before the Lakers and had a kind of a rest advantage, and the league wanted to balance that out. Uh-huh. And so they talked to ESPN and said, hey – would you be cool if, you know, you've got Monday Night Football. How about if we don't play on Monday? And that way they could just kind of balance the league. So, you know, from now on, it's just kind of the, you know, you're at three games in both series, and they'll just go back and forth.
I couldn't help but think how much that would have helped Denver. Think about being Denver right now and the press that they've been on. I can't even imagine those guys have much left in the tank.
I think they're pretty tired, but I think that I'll tell you what, at the end of the last night's game, the guys were gassed in both teams.
Yeah.
Both teams looked really pretty wiped out, and both of the last games have been increasingly sloppy. And I'm not sure who that benefits. In some ways, you'd say the Lakers, but because LeBron can play through that a little bit, but I don't know. There's a little more depth in Denver. Maybe they can find a guy who can do that. It'll be interesting, but both of the last games, guys have started to look gassed, and I think playing every other day and not getting some breaks in there has more. The Lakers had it, and it didn't last long. And they're three games in, and they look gassed again.
So projecting ahead a little bit, looks like we've got our draft date set. Free agency will probably start a couple days after that. We always knew the December 1st start to the season wasn't going to happen. Then Christmas got floated out, and then in an interview with Bob Costas, Adam Silver said it'll be January at the earliest. Do you think it stops there? Could we slide into February?
I don't know anybody around the league who doesn't think it's February or March.
Really?
No. Yeah. I don't. Maybe I'm wrong. And the challenge is on the back end is the Olympics. I think we've talked about that before. And do you take an NHL style break or how do you handle that? But right now, I don't know anybody who doesn't think it's going to be. Look, owners want a full 82 games with fans in the arena for as many of them as they can. And the later you start that, the more likely you are to get it.
Okay. Well, and that was the conversation that Hans and I have had about this is, do you wait to get fans in the stands, or do you just go to try to get your, you know, to try to normalize the season as much as possible? It seems if you start in February, March, though, that you're pretty much going to have to start in December after that. And maybe that puts us on our December start time from here on out.
Maybe. I'd be curious to see where they go. Yeah, it starts later, but guys, you know this. It's really not about the schedule. It's about the money.
Yeah.
What way can we recoup the most of this money we're losing right now? And that's why there's no – I mean, the way to do this next year to make it all sync back up would be to start in February but play 60 games or something, you know, whatever. It's not going to happen. They're playing a full 82 with as many fans in the arena as they can get. I'm curious how that's going to shake out. If you know, could the Phoenix Suns have people in the building when the teams in California can't, or, you know, maybe Utah or where, you know, I don't think in Atlanta they care. they'll pack 18,000 in now. So like, I'm curious how they're going to handle that.
So, I remember some of the initial numbers we talked about in returning to the bubble. They stood to make about $1.2 billion, if I remember right.
Yeah.
I know that the bubble cost just around $200 million, or give or take, a few million. Is that the number they're going to hit, Kurt? Are they going to be able to achieve that billion-dollar number in this return?
I don't know the answer to that. It'll be interesting to see. Part of the delay for the draft and the start of free agency, which still doesn't have a date set. And by the way, you said probably starts a few days later. That would make sense, except it's right around Thanksgiving. So do they push it back till after Thanksgiving? And if you run it between Thanksgiving and Christmas, that feels a little weird, but that might be what they do. I don't know. Anyway, I don't know. On the other hand, they just run it through the 4th of July every year and screw that up holiday up for me anyway. So it might as well be Thanksgiving this year.
Might as well, right? Yeah.
my wife will love that. That said, you know, I'm not sure what the number. Part of the delay is trying to figure out the finances and where they are, and also just projecting them forward. Like, how much are they going to make next year? Because you're projecting forward a little bit too, and I don't think anybody has a good answer for that because there's so many dependents. And on top of, like, even if you've got guys back in the arena, if you've got, you know, fans back in the arena, are fans going to go at the same level? Is it going to be? Are people just going to jump back into it or not? And is that going to be regionalized a little bit? It's going to be interesting.
Well, I mean, that's a great question too. And maybe February or March, there is some level of distribution of a vaccine by then, where people feel a little bit more comfortable. I mean, there's a lot of question marks there, but you certainly give yourself more options by pushing it back as far as you can.
Yeah, I think the idea is even if they can't start that way, they could be in a bubble by.
Yeah.
You know, if they start with a mini bubble that they play the final half of the season even in front of fans, that's better than zero. So I think that as many games as they can get in front of fans, they'll take.
And BYU's got a player that is done, Yoeli Childs. It could be a second-round pick. Utah State's got Sam Merrill, who could be a second-round pick. And I'm kind of curious to know, in terms of the pre-draft workouts, are they going to be able to do at city visits, or is that going to have to be virtually done as well? How's that going to play out?
There are going to be, apparently, there's a first round where, like, the combine this year, and I don't know where those guys were in relation to being invited, but the combine is kind of virtual, and they're putting together, what they're doing is having a league guy put them through their paces, like the guys who do the workouts. They're going to do the measurements. They're going to do the medical, which is what the teams mostly care about. And then virtual interviews, 30-minute virtual interviews with up to 20 teams that first go around. Then they're supposed to be able to set up a system of in-person interviews after that. Not workouts. You know, you can't go there and work out, which is going to hurt. I think it hurts those second-round guys kind of more. Like, that's the place where you could go in and maybe impress a little, or go into the combine and impress with the workout. They're not going to be able to do that. But there's supposed to be in-person interviews after that. And I know that teams I've talked to have done more virtual interviews and, frankly, more scouting of tape than they've done for any draft that they can remember, just because they got the time. They can do it now in a way that they could not in previous years.
Well, Kurt, we appreciate your time as always. Thanks for joining us, and I look forward to catching up with you again here next week.
Take care, guys. Be good.
You got it. Kurt Helin right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Always good to chat with him.
It is, and it helps you understand where we're at right now in the NBA. I think a lot of Jazz fans, they might disengage a bit, maybe watch a game or two. Maybe they're interested in what Denver does after they took out the Utah Jazz in Game 7, coming back from a 1-3 deficit. But I love talking to Kurt and just kind of getting the big picture, the perspective of what we're looking at with the NBA. And it seems like they're going to take a hit. They're going to take a major financial – talking about the players.
Oh, yeah.
Going to take a financial hit.
Yep. All right, we are live here at Tim Daly Infinity. Beautiful ride, 0% financing available on some of these Infinities. And it will, let's not kid ourselves here. These are vehicles that you aspire to own and you think there's no way I can afford it. That's not the case. They've got 0% financing available. They've got some incredible vehicles that are really priced to move on lease standpoint. They've got a used inventory as well. And remember, you're also, when you buy one of these vehicles, you're buying peace of mind, and it costs, and that peace of mind actually comes included. It's no extra charge. If the engine goes out, transmission goes out 10 years from now, 15 years from now, 300,000 miles from now, it's still covered. It's a warranty that lasts forever. It's included on all these vehicles and a high selection of their used vehicles as well. You got to check it out for yourself. Tim Daly Infinity, 4594 South State Street. Come by, say hi. Hans and Scotty, the good, the bad, the ugly, coming up next right here on the Zone Sports Network.
Let's go! The Big Show.
It's a big deal!
With Gordon Monson and Jake Scott.
Football Fridays, Coach Mac, Alema Harrington. We're here at the warehouse. Tom Alema said he was a little bit jealous.
Well, just a little.
Have an Alema deal.
Alema special.
Okay.
I've got about 10 love seats.
Ha ha!
Hey, what do you think, Coach?
That's just what you need is a love seat.
Alema does love need seat. A love seat.
There's service. Nothing wrong with cuddling on a love seat.
Okay, well, I
cuddle with my wife and watch a movie.
Yeah, I agree with that. My wife is practicing social distance.
She's been doing that for 25 years, right?
I was waiting for Gordon to pop in on that one.
The Big Show, weekdays from 2 to 7 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. You look across the world of college football, and one big loss earlier this week was Notre Dame, who had multiple players. Early reports said 4 players. Other reports had up to 7 players that tested positive for the coronavirus. They had to postpone their game against Wake Forest. And you always wonder if those games are going to get rescheduled. Well, it has been. Notre Dame and Wake Forest will come up on December 12th. So they will be able to squeeze that game in, hopefully. But that's why these teams that were able to play early have those level, you know, they built in 2 or 3 weeks so they can have that level of flexibility. That's what concerns you a little bit about the Pac-12 and the Mountain West coming in a little late. They don't have that same level of flexibility.
No rescheduling. No movement, no open weeks.
And that's going to be tough for, like, let's say a team like Oregon, who's expected to be good and expected to have a chance to, you know, if they go undefeated, maybe knock on the door of a college football playoff.
Possibly, yeah.
But they're only playing 8 games. And let's say they're supposed to play, I don't know, Cal or some team that they're supposed to beat. And they have an outbreak, not Oregon, but Cal has an outbreak on their team. And so Oregon loses a game. They have no flexibility. And the college football playoff committee is looking at them like, hey, you only played 7 games. We can't let you in the playoff if you only played 7 games. We don't care that you're 7-0.
Which would be understandable.
I mean, they might do that to them just at 8-0.
Yeah, might.
But
if you've got SEC teams and ACC and Big 12 teams that have played 10, and you're trying to sneak in with 8, I could see the argument against it. I understand it. I totally understand it. Look, and that's you know what? That's the penalty for getting started late.
Yeah.
Thinking that you can kind of write your own story.
Same thing with the Big Ten. Although if Ohio State loses a game and they're still 7-0, they're still getting in because they're Ohio State.
Right.
But the Pac-12 and Oregon specifically, they don't have that luxury.
Same with Alabama.
Yeah, Alabama could go 2-0, and they'll like, eh, come on, you're fine.
We've proven enough.
You beat La Tech and, you know, Middle Tennessee State. Who, by the way, you got to lighten up on Middle Tennessee.
No, I won't. Not until that coaching staff is fired.
I like how a radio show in Utah is trying to get the coaching staff at Middle Tennessee State fired.
They need to be out, man. I'll tell that story here when we start into the BYU preview show, because it was actually quite comical what happened this morning. But, Middle Tennessee would be the one exception. If you saw that on Alabama's schedule and that was one of the two wins, you couldn't take that into consideration. La Tech, sure. Hell, Southern Utah, sure. Not Middle Tennessee.
Not Middle Tennessee State. Mm-hmm. All right, there's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
This is a really sad story out of Major League Baseball. O'Neill Cruz, who's really probably one of the best minor league prospects in the entire Pittsburgh Pirates organization, was in a really terrible accident in the Dominican Republic yesterday. It left three people dead, Scotty. Apparently, and this is according to reports, Cruz was in a Jeep and he was driving along the road and for one reason or the other did not see a motorcycle in front of him that had three individuals on it.
Three individuals on a motorcycle.
Yep. It says that 21-year-old Cruz was riding in a Jeep down a highway when it came up from behind and hit a motorcycle. The outlet reports the bike, which had three occupants on it, did not have its lights on.
Oh, boy.
The report added all three people on the motorcycle passed away from injuries suffered in the crash. Cruz was not seriously injured in the wreck. He's a 6'7", 210-pound infielder, currently number three on the team's top 30 prospect list. He really is kind of the next up-and-coming thing, but he's going to have to deal with some pretty horrible trauma.
Yeah, and that's and look, if you're going the speed limit, you're doing everything right, and you're at 10-2, you're paying attention to the road, but it's at night, and you didn't see something like this, and you essentially killed three people, but you're technically not in the wrong. You didn't do anything wrong. I still, even though you know that it's really not your fault, knowing that knowledge that a vehicle you drove took lives,
it'd be really bad.
That'd be really tough to come back from.
Be hard to get over. It was a sad story. Really sad story.
Yeah. All right, there's your bad. Let's get to the ugly.
And, of course, the ugly.
Well, Scotty, I don't know if you saw this, and Lloyd, I'm not sure if you saw this. We have not talked about it, but PGA Tour golfer Danny Lee threw a temper tantrum during the Open and had a six-putt situation that went down. I didn't see it. Ended up with nine strokes on the 18th hole and took his putter, and as he walked off the green, I'm talking a full A-rod, drawback swing with his putter and hit his golf bag with it, and then withdraw from the tournament with a injured wrist.
Oh, jeez.
I watched, it was the first time I'd seen the video, and Lloyd, I don't know if you'd seen this or heard of this. It was Saturday's round. He missed a short par putt, Scotty. It was like 3 feet, and then he missed the comeback putt, which was a bogey putt, and then from that point, he had three more putts that he missed, and the whole scene is ugly. He's just nonchalantly walking up, and you're in the U.S. Open, son.
Yeah.
Like, you're in the U.S. Open. You are in a professional tour. You got all the cameras and spotlights on you. Keep your composure.
You do what he did at the local Muni. Fine. But you don't do that at the U.S. Open. You can't just go up and not try to line it up. All of a sudden, he just started almost, he was treating it like a hockey puck. It was like,
exactly.
What?
Exactly. Scotty, so I think it might have been the third or fourth attempt. He walked by the ball, and he was kind of facing the other direction and kind of hit it behind him.
He even wiped the green, like across it? Like, isn't that illegal to actually do that?
I thought that was illegal to touch the path in front of your ball.
Yeah, you can't because you're essentially changing the grain of the grass.
Maybe that's another reason why he withdrew. Maybe they're telling him he was
I'm sure.
Going to get penalized.
I'm sure because, yeah, he probably with that, you had that on there. Good Lord. That was embarrassing.
And by the way, the fact that he withdrew on a Saturday and didn't finish cost him at bare minimum $22,000.
Oh, man.
Because he'd made the cut, so he's in the money. If he finishes dead last after making the cut, it would have guaranteed him at least, I think it was $22,000 or $21,900 or something like that. Hmm. All he had to do was just finish, and you can be dead last. You're still walking away with 20 grand.
He issued an apology. That's why it's news today. He issued an apology, and I wouldn't even have known if he didn't issue an apology because the apology got put out on a wire.
Yeah.
You know, the footage was then connected to the apology. He said, "I apologize for my poor actions at U.S. Open last week. It was very unprofessional and foolish. Obviously hurt lots of my fans and followers and my sponsor out there. My frustration took over me, and combined with injury, I had to fight with it for all week. Still just an excuse. I shouldn't left like that. And also like to apologize to USGA. They did a tremendous job last week at Wingfoot, on the course and off the course. Now I'm going to take some time off and think about what I did, and starting next week, I'll show up as a better person and have better sportsmanship. Thank you."
Better sports. Okay. This guy finished fifth at the Arnold Palmer Invitational.
Danny Lee?
Yeah, he finished.
Oh, so he's had some tough tens,
like,
huh?
His career, his yearly earnings, he's over $2 million this year.
Oh, wow.
He made $1.5 million last year, $1.2 million the year before that, $1.6 million. He has a win in 2015. I'm not sure who that is, but this guy's carved out a nice little career for himself. Not to the point where he needs to be acting like that.
I wonder if he got a call on the 18th fairway as he was approaching the green from his wife that was like, "I need you home." And he was like, I'm just on Saturday's round. I made the cut. I need you home. These kids are getting crazy." And by the time he got to the green, he was all kinds of ticked off and swinging a club. And something happened. Watch the footage. If you don't believe me, it's the most bonker, bizarre tantrum I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, it makes Happy Gilmore look tame. It's the dumbest thing. He did everything but bury his club into the green.
At some point, you got to realize, like, hey, I'm in front of a lot of people right now.
Like, it's a major.
I can't do this.
This is one of four of the most important tournaments in the history and in the world
of
golf.
You don't act like this. Maybe this is the fact there's no fans. Maybe he realizes he just kind of slips into, I'm just on a course by myself, and I just six-putted, and I'm gonna lose my mind. Because I don't think he does that if there's a huge gallery in front of him.
Did you say where he finished? He withdrew, but you didn't see the number he was at?
No, because
he pulled a 9 on 18, so yeah. I don't know.
He probably would have finished dead last, but yeah, after making the cut.
I don't know. Dead last was plus 25.
Yeah. So who knows how much money he cost himself. All right, there you go. Good, the bad, the ugly right here on the Zone Sports Network. We'll transition into the Cougar Preview Show coming up at noon. Remember, Eric Weddle joins the program tomorrow for our weekly conversation with him from 11 to noon. It's all right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. What whole world news coming up next right here on the Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK.
Former Cougar Jordan Pendleton joining us. Your Cougars looked awesome against Navy. How much of that do you think BYU's got a really good offensive line and they are going to roll through Troy and roll through the other teams? And how much of that was Navy hadn't been hitting and it really isn't a fair test?
That's a tough one, man. They did look unbelievable. It was so nice to see an identity on offense. And I'm hoping that that's how BYU's going to play the rest of the season. And we'll find out. You would love to see them be able to play with that momentum and carry that momentum on, but having 2 weeks off and then now facing Troy, it'll be interesting to see how BYU comes out and how they've been preparing for the last 2 weeks since the victory over Navy.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world
in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
I just put a tweet out for National Dog Day.
Oh, boy. Is it National Dog Day today?
I think so, yeah.
Wasn't it like National Dog Day like a month ago?
Yeah, it's like every other week.
No, it's not every other week. And no, I don't think it was a month ago. I think it's today.
No, I'm being serious. We tweeted out like pictures of our dogs like a month and a half ago.
Yeah. Remember it was everybody had all those pictures of their dope, I mean their great dogs?
Well, don't go too far,
I just sent out
Scotty.
A picture of my dog. Can you not call my dog Dopey?
I did call your dog Dopey.
Yeah, you did.
I said everybody's tweeting out pictures of their dogs.
No, you said Dopey. I just sent out a picture of Gracie.
I'm afraid you like Gracie more than you do Buster.
No, I don't. And I give Buster all the loving and you know attention that he needs.
National Dog Day was August 26th.
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing right now.
All right. Well, I'm off by a month or so. It's less than a month.
Wait, so is it not National Dog Day?
So what is today?
I thought it was National Dog Day. I thought I got a memo that it was National Dog Day.
Did you get that memo?
But this little Gracie, oh man. she gets into my youngest daughter's room, and my youngest daughter has a bunch of little stuffed animals.
Yeah.
And she goes up there and she kind of shops for her daily toy because she'll pick one of her animals and bring it out to play with. And we couldn't find her, Scotty, this morning. We couldn't find her, and we went out and we look in up by Riley's toys, and there she is. Look at her. She's such a little menace.
She looks like she's waiting for you to fall asleep so she can suffocate you.
Look how cute she is.
I don't know. That looks like that dog is up to no good.
Oh, I want to just snuggle with her. She's funny.
Is she a snuggly dog?
No, she doesn't like the snuggles. Buster likes the snuggles. She's less of a snuggle. She wants to play. She's not quite a year.
I feel for Buster, though. I do. I feel like...
Don't, because...
I feel like he was an only child for most of his life, and then all of a sudden he's got to share your love and attention with somebody else.
Buster gets the world of attention, believe me. He's not struggling. I promise you. You know how much I love that dog.
Yeah.
He is – Buster's still numero uno.
How does one find a French bulldog for less than $10,000, by the way?
Nowadays, I don't know. I don't know. I didn't pay that for him.
If I could find a good Frenchie for, you know – 20-40 bucks, then I'd be more than happy to house one.
Okay.
Did you so 20 or 40 lose bucks your faith in humanity when you got them?
No, but I did find Buster on a really good buy. And he is an
sure
amazing
you did.
Dog. But Gracie is just as sweet as they come. So I thought I'd put a tweet out for National Dog Day. If you do have a dog, remember today is the special day to give your dog treats and loves.
Maybe it's International Dog Day today. I don't know.
It might be that, too. For Whole World News today, Scotty.
Yeah.
I thought this story was interesting. There was actually a news piece that was attached to it. I was going to play the audio, but this guy got really wordy, and he kind of made the story boring. And I don't think this is a boring story. A guy named Steve Ginny out of Sullivan, Ohio. He was a Boy Scout when President Nixon visited the town during a September 22nd, 1960 campaign stop. And he wasn't the president at the time. Was he the vice president, right?
Sure.
I can't remember exactly what position he held, but he attended a cookout. And during the cookout with the Boy Scout crew,
yeah,
he ate half of a buffalo chicken sandwich. And he left the other half of the buffalo chicken sandwich on the plate. Steve Ginny has kept that buffalo chicken sandwich for 60 years.
Oh, no.
and he unveiled it today again because today,
man,
being September 22nd, it is the 60-year anniversary of that sandwich's half-eating. So that sandwich has brought him a ton of different notoriety, Scotty. Johnny Carson found out that he had that sandwich in 1988, and he brought Steve Jenny on the show with the frozen sandwich.
Is he at least, like, freeze-dried it or something?
No,
or?
It's just frozen. It's in his freezer. It's just a frozen portion of a buffalo chicken sandwich that's 60 years old. So he brought it to the show. So what did Johnny Carson do? Johnny Carson gave him a half-eaten piece of sandwich, and now he keeps Johnny Carson's half-eaten piece of sandwich. Well, what did that lead to? That led to other celebrities giving him a half piece or a half eaten sandwich, including Tiny Tim and Henny Youngman.
You know what's interesting about those guys?
I don't know either.
Nothing.
One of them.
Who's Tiny Tim?
As well as Steve Martin. Steve, I don't.
Oh, really? Okay. Who's the other guy? Hennessy something?
No, Henny Youngman. Henny Youngman.
Really?
Yeah. And Steve Martin.
You know what's interesting about him? Nothing.
Steve Martin's a good guy.
Well, he's keeping them all, but he says that, and I quote, he says, Nixon's sandwich remains the crown jewel of my collection. There's another quote. He said, as long as I am living, that sandwich will be stored in my freezer in a container that is labeled save, don't throw away.
His wife's like, how long has this been in here? This has gone bad. Oh, man. I don't know if there's anybody that'd be willing to have any of our half-eaten sandwiches, probably because they don't exist, because we don't leave half-eaten sandwiches lying around.
That was your first misstep. You don't just eat half of your buffalo chicken sandwiches at a cookout.
Johnny asked the question, if he thawed that thing out, would you be willing to take a bite out of it?
No, hell no. 60 years in a freezer? Oh, that thing would be horrible. 60 years. And you know it thawed out like four or five times. He left it out. Crap.
The power went out or something.
You know, in 60 years, that thing has had to have been left out a couple of times. And he must have an incredible wife, because you know our wives, after 2 months, would have chucked that out. It didn't matter if it was.
Oh, do you guys go through the freezer pretty regularly?
Yeah. Yeah, we keep track of the freezer.
Yeah.
We don't have a lot of space for randoms in there.
Yeah. Every now and then, we need to, like, every 3 or 4 months, we go, like, okay, things are getting a little full in there. We need to weed some stuff out.
Yeah. And I guarantee that sandwich would go.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care if it was Laurence Olivier's half-eaten sandwich.
Would you keep a Neil Diamond half-eaten sandwich?
Well, I would try.
In the freezer.
But I'm sure it'd be gone soon.
Because you'd eat it?
No, well, either that or Amanda would toss it. Or okay. Rock would eat it. He would look at it and be like, save. Whoa. I'm hungry. He'd eat it. Frozen.
Oh, but no, like, really imagine if, like, you're coming home from a concert. You've got that sandwich, and it's just sitting there, and it's only a couple hours old, and you're driving. You've had a great time at the concert. You've been dancing like crazy, and so you worked up a little appetite, and you're looking at that sandwich. Like, it's got some blue cheese on it. It's a Philly blue.
But, you know, it's got some of Neil's saliva
but Neil's,
on
you
the
know,
edge.
And you're like, but I do like Neil, and I do like.
Oh, man. I'd start singing, be coming to my gullet.
Today.
Come into my stomach.
Tonight.
Forever in blue cheese, babe.
Ah.
I'd eat it.
You'd eat it.
Oh, I'd eat it. And then the story would be, I ate half of Neil Diamond's sandwich. Not, I kept it in my freezer for 60 years.
I do like the story that your wife, and I think you guys were already married too, that she had to scold you when you walked into a restaurant from going up to tables that had left and eaten the food that was still.
Oh, yeah. No, that's actually a tender topic in our marriage.
Okay.
Because for the first, like, 8 years, she couldn't stop me from doing it. I'd eat leftover food on people's tables. But now in the pandemic era,
oh, really?
I would have it to second guess that.
It took the pandemic to nix that.
I think a lot of people do that. It's just I'm the only one that would admit it. But if I saw a blooming onion that was half eaten, or if I saw some boneless wings that were left on a tray, or if I saw, like, you know,
we've all thought about it.
Stack of fries or half eaten steak, I would fork that thing, throw it on a plate, and I'd eat it.
I bet you got some weird looks, man.
Again, I think a lot of people do it. They just don't admit it.
I'll admit, like, you're walking by in a plate and you see, and they're like, I don't think anybody touched that. And you're
okay.
Thinking to yourself, that could end up on my plate, but you don't do it.
Well, the other hot place to do it was at, like, a pizza parlor. You know, people eat four or five slices of pizza. First of all, you got to take home the pizza. But if you're dumb enough to leave a couple garlic knots or a slice or two or pepperoni or Hawaiian, yeah, I'm going to eat it. Now I don't anymore. I've grown out of that trend.
Or you just have been beaten down by your wife.
I've been verbally abused multiple times.
Okay, so if you're going to
she came on air right now and you asked her about that, first of all, she'd be horrified that I talked about it.
Yeah.
Second of all, she would continue to berate me for being disgusting.
I think we need to bring her on.
No, we don't need to bring her on. It really is a tender topic.
Okay, yeah, don't.
It's not good for our marriage. It's like one of the it's one of the few character flaws she finds in me.
So if all right, so you're not going into a restaurant with your wife. Let's say it's just you and you're going in and you're like, wife's out of town, kids are out of town. You're like, I'm gonna treat myself to a nice pizza buffet place. And you walk in and you see a plate full of garlic knots.
I wouldn't do it at a buffet, pizza buffet, but I would at a parlor.
Okay, pizza parlor. That's what I meant. Sorry.
I think I'm out of the trend, Scotty.
Okay.
I think I've moved on from it, and especially in the pandemic era, I just don't think I'd eat it.
See, you've made great strides.
You've become an adult, is what you're saying.
I've come a long way, and to those out there that are judging me, think inwardly. You've probably done it, and if you haven't done it, you've thought about doing it. And if you haven't done it or thought about doing it, keep your opinion to yourself. I don't want to hear from you.
Nobody tweeted our guy.
At 975 Hans.
Don't throw out. You don't need to throw out my. You could go on and see my little Gracie.
Okay, here it is. It's the National Dogs in Politics Day today.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
Of course you send out a tweet.
Oh, man.
Political tweet.
So there you go. That's what today is. So if you're a politician and you have a dog, you get your own day to send out pictures of your dogs. All right, Hans and Scotty, we're going to transition into the Cougar Preview Show. Coming up next, we're live here at Tim Daly Infinity, 4594 South State Street, right here on the Zone Sports Network.